and welcome to the new season of the Leisure Link Podcast.
Oh, it's so great to be back. This is episode one, and my name is Joe. For our first episode, we have a Leisure Link special where we have dedicated a whole episode to the extremely important topic of accessibility, where three of our most valued representatives in the Croydon community, that's Evie from Gig Buddies Croydon, Jeanette from Turf Projects, and Sedley from Club Soda and Gig Buddies, they discuss their hopes, dreams, experiences, and challenges on the topic. How the Croydon social scene can be made truly more accessible. Now, this was a topic that was part of the event in November last year called A Devoted and Disgruntled Event. So sit back, relax, and enjoy the show.
This is the Leisure Link Podcast.
Okay, hello everybody and welcome back to the Leisure Link podcast. We've been away for a little bit, but we are firmly back and we are ready to chat about some very important things. My name is Evie and I am the project coordinator for the Gig Buddies Croydon project, and I am joined today with two wonderful, brilliant guests. I'll let them introduce themselves to you.
My name is Sedley. I'm part of Club Soda and part of the Gig Buddies.
Hi, my name's Jinnook and I work at Turf Projects as a lead for access for all of our programmes.
Wicked. It's great to have both of you here today. I'm going to explain to our listeners a little bit about what we're going to be talking about. So we are taking it back in time to November last year when we hosted an event with Drunken Chorus as part of their A Bit of a Do festival and with the help of Improbable Theatre Company. And it was an event called A Devoted and Disgruntled Event, where we asked the question, how can we make Croydon's social scene truly accessible? Now, this was an evening where we invited local venues, learning disability projects, and anyone who wanted to really get to the bottom of what needed to be done to make our local community more accessible. Now, it was a pretty energetic evening. I think we got lots of partner organisations there, maybe not as many local venues as we hoped, but the evening was full of lots of topics that were discussed at great length. And I know we could all be on this podcast forever and ever if we went through all of the discussion topics. But I just wanted to share with the listeners the kind of list of key things that came up over the course of the evening. And then I'll chat with you both about your thoughts and feelings on what kind of came up. So there was a long list of sessions that were put forward by the people in the room, and these included stability, space and money, the topic of support staff and venues adapting, accessible dating, how do we encourage good accessibility, the clubbing norm and a code of access. Now, you can read more about each of these topics over on the report that we wrote up that I will link in the description. But I just wanted to chat with Sedley and Jinnook today about what came up and how important the kind of event was and what solutions we found that can help us make Croydon's social scene truly accessible. So enough of me ranting on. Sedley and Jinnook, I wonder if you could tell our listeners first why you were at the event and why it's such an important question that we were asking. Sedley, did you want to go first?
Yeah, I got this event just to listen to what topic is going to come up. But I'm always interested in things to be talked about with learning to be with learning disabilities. And when I was growing up, I wasn't taught about it. There's no one actually sat down and talked to me about anything. I learned that by myself. So I'm always, the reason I got involved with so many different groups is to make sure the young people get someone, a group to talk to about if they need to talk to about anything.
Awesome, yeah. So definitely there was a real shared feeling of like urgency and important, the important nature of the question that we were asking. Wicked. And Jinnick, could you tell our listeners why you were there and why you feel like the question we were asking was so important?
Yeah, similar to Sedley, really. I'm always interested in these topics as part of who I am and like the role that I have at Turf Projects. And I wanted to know more about those events because I'd heard about them before and I'd never been to one myself. So it was my first one. And I wanted to know who was interested in coming along to answer that question and just to know about their perspectives. And I always think that you can always learn more on this subject, on being inclusive and accessible. And I think we kind of just started to get out more after sort of lockdowns. And so it felt like you were saying, both of you, that it felt really important and especially urgent. So yeah, that's why I was there.
Wicked, great. So as I mentioned briefly earlier, the way the event is run, people would suggest topics and then people would choose what topic they wanted to be part of discussing. I wondered for both of you, which kind of session or topic were you kind of most involved in? And in those sessions, what were key things that you found, what kept coming up or something that stuck in your mind? Who wants to go first? Should we start with Jinnick this time?
I have to cast my mind back now because it's been some time, but I think I first started off with support staff and venues adapting to sort of being welcoming. And then I kind of moved through quite a few of the different topics because I wanted a flavour of like all the discussions, but I think I spent most time on that one and maybe a code of access, thinking about stability. And then towards the end, spoke with Sedley a bit and others in Sedley's group on accessible dating. And then kind of moved back round to like, how do we encourage, good access or being inclusive. So I think I didn't stay in one for the whole session, but yeah, mainly it was in that first one about venues adapting.
I was going to ask you, like, in that kind of venues adapting session, what was a key solution or what was something that you kind of found that kept coming up in that chat? That maybe was either like a barrier or like a solution that you found?
I think a common theme that kept coming up in conversations was about a barrier and how to tackle it in different ways. And the barrier is not the most obvious one that perhaps a lot of people might think of. It was about the right attitude towards access being a big barrier. And like, I think in each of those groups, we discussed different ways that we would remove that barrier. And that was quite interesting. So that was like a common theme that kept coming up, but it was really like a long detailed discussion about how you could do that with venues adapting, like whether it's through training, but then training alone doesn't mean that it's actually going to work because it has to change people's attitude and you can't just complete some training and have something ticked off. You have to kind of change your attitude towards it somehow.
So attitude towards kind of people with learning disabilities and access is something we speak about a lot in our work with Club Soda and Gig Buddies, Sedley. And I wonder if you could kind of talk about that from a position of experience, like how important that attitude is in making a venue or an event accessible.
That's very important for people who wants to go out in the evening, even just going out for lunch. So I've gone out for lunch in Cordon, I.e. I love going in Turtle Bay, but there's one manager, I'm not sure he was a manager or anything, but I've gone in there in the afternoon about 12-ish with my shopping trolley, but I just thought I'll have lunch instead of going home again. And he said now the tables are, they have no tables. So the following day I've gone the same time, and the other guy said, yeah, you can come in, we've got tables. So it's people's attitude to say.
Yeah, that's a really stark example of it. And we often talk about the importance of friendly staff and how you may have a venue that doesn't have all the access requirements, but some of our favourite venues that we do Gig Buddy socials in have the staff that are willing to make changes and willing to accommodate and be friendly and do everything that they can to make it feel accessible, even if they are maybe missing a couple of elements that would make it accessible for everyone. So attitude and that kind of friendly face is certainly something I remember coming up in the room a lot. Sedley, what about you? Do you remember what kind of session or topic you were most involved in, or anything?
There's two topics. There's one about religion, but I picked the one around sexual relationships around with learning disabilities. I think that's important because that's never talked about. Groups never, no one really talk about it, so it needs to be, people need to be educated on that sort of subject, regardless of, it may feel, some people may not like to talk about it, but it's part of life, isn't it? So
yeah, and naturally the kind of sex and relationships topic is part of like socializing and nightlife, yeah, and getting out in your community and being part of just a social scene. And we realized that there weren't many spaces that kind of embraced that, especially if people aren't talking about it.
The reason I brought it up is because I've written a paper years ago on it. What my ex-girlfriend was telling me, when she was telling me about these things, I never knew what happened back then, but I've learned a lot since that stuff, and I'm still reading about things, what went on in the past. Where the choice of, if a lady had a girl child, at a certain age, they had the operations on them for having kids. And like, now that person is, have a family or something. And they have a choice. They're going to have a kid now. Or what they could do is adopt a kid. But you know where attitudes are outside. So I don't think people should be given a choice.
Because, yeah, I think you mentioned the paper that you wrote about being in relationships when we were in our group. And I'm still really interested to... yeah, read it if you're willing to share it, because I think that sounds super important to sort of, you know, from lived experiences, to understand that choices should be given in time sensitive ways, like you were saying, like you know, there's a time frame by which people can have children themselves, and they need to know all the facts and information to be able to plan their family, and I think medical professionals or like even like support with that from family, friends and networks needs to know more about that too, to be able to support it. Right from like not even family planning, like I think when we were talking in the group about like where venues can support dating scenarios and be accessible, like love hotels as well that are accessible, and I think we need to see more of that happening because it doesn't exist and it's really bizarre because we're in 2022 and it should.
Yeah, exactly. I think that's one of our big goals with Gig Buddies down the line. We would love to run some kind of speed dating event or sex and relationships kind of workshops, because we have a lot of Gig Buddies who, it's human nature to want companionship and to have romance and relationships. And when you don't have necessarily the support or the guidance or the information out there, it can be really isolating. And how wonderful would that be, like venues facilitating a safe and supported space for those kind of conversations to start and for that learning to begin and people to feel happy and confident in expressing themselves and making those connections and those relationships. So fingers crossed.
And like, yeah, just to like add to also what Sedley you were saying before about adopting as well and like, you know, attitudes around society about who's capable of adopting needs to change. So it goes back to that attitude thing again. It's like, yeah, we need to all be more informed to like support each other in making really choices about how we want companionship and families and love and sex and all the good stuff.
If you were placed in front of the people that have the power and the money, and this is something we spoke a lot about at the event, the fact that we don't have the power or the money. We have some power. We probably don't have that much money, but there are people with a lot of power and a lot of money to make the changes. If you were sat in front of the people that had all that power and money, what's something that you would say to them? If you could have one really powerful message to make them make the change to make Croydon truly accessible, what would you say to those people?
I would say to get the design, whoever can design the building, is to put all the design stuff in before you start building, so everything's accessible then. But I'm always on about lifetime homes, where lifetime home is all wider doorways and anybody can move in into that sort of house. That's what you want, all these proper events, venues, but the same way that anyone can walk in, wheelchair access, and all toilets on the ground floor. Then only there's the front room is a nice venue, but the only problem is the men's toilets are upstairs and have a lot of trouble on the stairs. So, but we need more venues according to ethics on the one level.
Yeah, I tell you, that's the one of the biggest barriers we face at Gig Buddies is trying to find. We can put on as many accessible and inclusive events as we want, but trying to find a venue that suits that and a space that suits that. And like you say, it's about accessibility at the like conception of design. So at the very beginning, making things accessible instead of having it as an afterthought, which is obviously harder with older buildings.
When we was using the Bad Apple, we had this disabled loo on the ground floor, made the toilets upstairs, but we had a lot more people in wheelchairs come to our thing when we had the Bad Apple, but since we lost it, we lost a lot of people that used to come in wheelchairs and stuff. I used to love this when I was in the collecting the cloak. I was in the cloakroom then, and I could watch all these people in wheelchairs enjoying themselves But I don't see much of that. The only time I see that is when I go up to the snooker tournament up at Coulston. When we had a disco, last disco we had, all these people were up. I recognise a few faces. And I look at their faces when music comes on. They can come and join, have a good night. So.
Wonderful. Thank you. Thank you, Sedley. That's a really nice image. That's a really nice image, and we need more of that. Jinnick, what about you? What would you say to the people with all the money and all the power?
Yeah, I think I wanted to extend what Sedley was saying offering, like thinking about the planning of accessibility or inclusivity, just to add something specific into that, like involving the people that you want to be in your space. So where, you know, involve disabled people, but involve a range of disabled people with a range of lived experiences, and general experiences of life, because we're all different people, and they will be able to help you with planning how they might like to use your space. And I think, like, if you're a venue and you have audiences and visitors, don't just think about them, think about staff and artists and performers, because you want to make everything inclusive, not just one end, it's all ends, because then you're offering opportunities for people to be performing on that stage, or being that DJ, or performing that gig, or, you know, all those things, or even like greeting people yourself, or running the shop, or whatever kind of venue you are. My main message is just to involve different people, involve disabled people, involve people with different lived experiences, and that way you'll get a diverse range of people visiting and working in your space.
Fantastic. Gosh. And I'd love to know what the people with the power and the money would say back to that. Hey.
Yeah.
Yes.
I would say.
But yes, I encourage, if anyone with the power and the money is listening to this podcast, write us in a reply. Great. So we're coming to the end of our time slot now, but I just wanted to kind of plug a little bit of info about what the future looks like for us personally in regards to what action is going to happen. So we all got together in this room and we had some fantastic conversations, and we realized a lot of the changes that can take place we can do, but we are reliant on external forces. But for Club Soda and Gig Buddies, we are super excited to announce that we've got our funding for the next 3 years, which means more live events for people with learning disabilities, more matches on our Gig Buddies project, and taking up more space in our community. We're going to be able to campaign more out in Croydon. We're going to be able to spread our Leisure Link further and let it grow bigger and reach the people it needs to. And this means also more potential collaborations with the mainstream venues in Croydon, and more time and space for us all to work together to make the change that needs to happen to shake things up and make things truly accessible. So that's a bit of excitement from our end. And I wonder, does anyone else, in terms of the action that's going to happen, does anyone like have, I know Sedley, you're always out there making changes, and Jinnick, you obviously work with your Moss lot and a lot of other kind of parts of the community. What kind of action do you, if any, if you want to kind of share with our listeners, leave it on a note of hope.
I think just for me, it's about keeping on talking about it and sharing ideas and learning from each other and being open to learning from each other. And yeah, being creative with where we haven't got the funds to come up with other solutions, because sometimes solutions don't have to cost money. And like we said earlier, like sadly you and me, I think, all said it, it's, you know, that comes from an attitude barrier. So yeah, just being more open to exchanging, listening and talking after those conversations, not just to leave them conversations, like turn those conversations into actions where you're at least trying to remove the barrier. All we can do is try.
Yes, yes. Brilliant. And sadly, any action, any hopeful, positive action that you want to leave our listeners with today?
What I love to see is we organise a big event and invite all these people in, people with money in Cordon, so we can educate them about the Freedom Future.
I think that's the thing, proving to people who maybe don't have an experience of the learning disability community, maybe getting them in a room to prove how much fun and possibility and skill and brilliance there is in those spaces, and that it's well worth their time and money to invest. Not always money, just time and energy.
Yeah. You know where I go to our space in Cordon, I use the cafe. That's accessible, but they've got, if someone needs a ramp, they'll take the ramp out. And I think it's a good space that is. I know I'm speaking to someone next week about doing something there for the Queen's Jubilee.
Oh, wicked. It's great to hear. You're always a man with a plan, Sedley.
Yeah.
So you must keep us updated.
Yeah.
Thank you so much, Sedley and Jinnick, for sharing all your thoughts and feelings and just brilliant examples and really inspiring inspiring opinions on the kind of question at hand and this really important topic that I know all of us are, yeah, we've got a fire in our belly and we want things to change. And if a listener is listening and you also now have a fire in your belly, you can find the full report on our Devoted and Disgruntled event. You can either go to devotedanddisgruntled.com and search in the reports for how can we make Croydon's social scene truly accessible. Now, I would spell all of that out. However, I think the easiest thing for me to do is to put the link in the description and the information of the podcast. But I will just spell out Devoted and Disgruntled. So that's DEVOTEDANDDISGRUNTLED.com. And you can find some really good other discussions there. And I just wanted to say also thank you to Drunken Chorus, who invited us to do the event with them as part of their A Bit of a Do festival. And then also Improbable Theatre, who hosts these wonderful, exciting events where, yeah, we pose these really important questions and we come up with some brilliant answers. So, yes, thank you so much, Jinnick and Sedley. It's been wonderful chatting with you, as always.
Oh, thank you so much for inviting me. Yeah, and really nice to chat with you both.
And I guess we'll just watch this space for some exciting things shaking up Croydon. Hey? Fab. Okay. Any last words? Anyone want to say anything? Anyone want to plug themselves? Jinnick, did you want to leave any social media handles or anything?
Just to keep an eye on at Turf Projects and the events that we run. They're always free and we try to be as accessible and inclusive as we can be. We're in quite a challenging space, so like Sedley mentioned before about toilets, we have the same issue, but we're working on it. But we're always keen to hear feedback and have conversations about how to be accessible and inclusive to you. As in you, the listeners, and you, Evie, and you, sadly. always happy to hear what ideas you've got, especially if you live or work in Croydon and you're familiar with it. Follow us at Turf Projects.
Wonderful. And sadly, hey, we can invite the listeners down to the next Soda Beat and they can see us both on the dance floor, hey?
Yeah. I'm looking forward to the next one.
Yeah. May 30th, the Oval Tavern.
The last time I went to the Oval a couple of weeks ago, I didn't leave here until 12 o'clock the following morning.
Sadly's a party animal. You heard it here first, guys.
Wow. Awesome. I'm impressed.
Brilliant. Okay, let's say goodbye to everyone then. Thanks for listening and thanks for chatting so much, guys. Bye.
Thank you. Bye.
That was a discussion on how the Croydon social scene can be made truly more accessible from a devoted and disgruntled event. Well, that's it for our first episode in bringing us into an exciting new season of Leisure Link Podcasts. Thanks to Evie,
Janik,
and Sedley for joining us on this episode. If you would like any more information about the Leisure Link Podcast, please contact www.clubsoda.org.uk. This has been a Joe on behalf of Club Soda saying, see you on the next Leisure Link podcast.